Spring, and I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Ted Gunderson. And Ted, I was with the FBI. How long were you with the FBI, Ted?
27 plus years.
All right. And then when you retired, of course, you had been in charge of the Los Angeles office, which is a pretty key office. How long did you have that office?
I was chief inspector, and then I went to Memphis in charge of the Memphis office for a year and a half. And then I went to Dallas in charge of the Dallas office 2.5 years. And then I went to the Los Angeles division. I was there a year and a half, and then I retired with honors, by the way, at age 50. So now you know how old I am, and I retired in 1979.
All right, so you've been around for a long time. Well, you're almost as old as I am, actually. Anyway, of course, in fact, you're just about the same age that I am. Now, Ted, you know, I think really what's so significant, you know, is some of the things that, of course, you've been involved in. And certainly, I didn't realize that you'd been involved with the story of the Green Beret captain who was accused 25 years ago of having killed his wife and his children and sent to prison. Was that Captain McDonald?
Dr. Jeffrey R. McDonald, and the murders occurred February 17, 1970. He was tried in August 1979.
All right. Of course, you pointed out that this was really a satanic murder, and the government, the people within the government obviously knew this, and they've covered that fact up, and he's been rotting in a prison ever since then.
Well, I was asked after I got out of the FBI to become involved in the investigation of the Dr. Jeffrey McDonald murders. His wife, Colette, was pregnant, by the way, and then he had children, 2.5 and 5.5, and the defense team came to me and said, he's innocent, will you investigate it? And I said, yes, as long as I'm sure he's innocent. Otherwise, I won't investigate it if I think he's guilty. And within 10 months, October 25, 1980, as a matter of fact, I obtained a signed confession from a girl named Helena Stokely. And she said that Dr. McDonald did not commit those murders. They were committed by her satanic cult group. And there were 7 people in the house that night. And the murders were covered up by the Army, primarily because the Army at that time was the primary investigators. And people in the Army, generals, as a matter of fact, according to Lena Stolpe, she said generals were involved in this drug operation, police officers, 2 attorneys in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and enlisted personnel. And they were bringing drugs and plastic bags in the body cavities of the dead GIs out of Southeast Asia. During this period, this is in the late 60s and early 70s now, and this is documented in Time Magazine January 1, 1973. And the cult went in without the permission or knowledge of the higher-ups in the drug operation, murdered the family. It was, as I say, it was a satanic ceremony. And in fact, Lena said it was her initiation into the group. And when the higher-ups in the drug operation realized that part of their group, and this satanic group was distributing the drugs, by the way, up and down the East Coast, when they realized that part of their group, their network, had committed these murders, they were afraid that if there was an investigation of them, it would uncover this whole operation. And it was just one big, huge cover-up. And they tried and convicted Dr. McDonald. That man is absolutely innocent. He did not commit those crimes. And, you know, recent events in this situation, and it's been in the news here within the last month or so, a U.S. Marshal overheard Lena trying to give the confession to Jim Blackburn, the U.S. attorney there in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And he told her, if you come forward with that story and confess to these murders, we're going to try you for murder. So Lena backed off. Well,
hold,
I had my
hold that thought right there, Ted.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Ted Gunderson, who was with the FBI for 27, 28 years, maybe 29 years, retired when he was 50 years old, and he's done a lot of investigation since then. And we followed his career and have always considered him a friend and very reliable. He was just telling us about the story of Captain Jeffrey McDonald, a Green Beret physician who was tried and convicted and sent to jail 25 years ago. As to cover up a satanic cult killing of his wife and children. There was a satanic cult that was involved. The prosecutor knew about it. People high in the government know about it. And they were covering up this satanic cult. Ladies and gentlemen, there are other satanic cults out there that do all sorts of things. There was a satanic cult behind David Berkowitz, the Son of Sam killer. There was a satanic cult that was that at least Charlie Manson was involved with. It was the same satanic cult, the Process Church of the Final Judgment. But there are many satanic cults, and of course it's amazing how often people in high positions in government will cover for satanic cults. Would that be a fair statement, Ted?
Well, absolutely. And the reason they're covering up is because the cults, and I would estimate there's at least 4 million members in the United States, and that's good information, by the way, reliable. I obtained this information from three different sources. One in the South Bay area of Los Angeles, a population of about 200,000. This informant told me there's about 3,000 members there. Lincoln, Nebraska, population 200,000. Another informant told me there's about 3,000 members there. Iowa City, Iowa, a population of 100,000. Another informant told me there's about 1,500 practicing Satanists. So if you project that figure nationally, you have about 4 million practicing Satanists in the United States. And they have infiltrated virtually every level in society.
And, of course, wasn't there one fellow who worked for the FBI, and his job was to go all over the country saying there are no satanic crimes?
Yeah, that was Ken Lanning. He was with the Behavioral Science Unit of the FBI. And he claimed that there's no organized satanic movement, just a few dabblers around that write on the walls and so on and so forth. But, I've described him as an apologist for the Satanists, and he's either the most stupid, ignorant person I've ever known, or one of the most anyway, or he's very frankly involved. That's what I take of him, and I don't think much of him, of course.
Well, of course, there's
of all people that should know would be the FBI. You see, the real reason for controlling that information is because when the local police run across what appears to be a satanic murder...
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back with Ted Gunderson right here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ted Gunderson, who was with the FBI for some 29 years. We're talking about satanic crimes and the fact that there was a gentleman in the FBI, very high level. His job was to go all over the country, whatever there was a satanic crime, to say, oh, there's no satanic crime. There may be just a few crazies out there, but there's no organized satanic movement. Ladies and gentlemen, this satanic movement is at the highest levels of our government. Do you remember when Hillary Clinton actually brought Gene Houston to the White House to conjure up the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi, when certainly Nancy Reagan was going to the astrologer to get information as to how our country should be run? These things are not imaginary. There are all sorts of satanic crimes both in this country and throughout the world, but they're always played down or they're made to appear so ridiculous that nobody can understand what's really going on. You pick up the story there, Ted.
Well, yeah, to show you how ridiculous it is, and to further explain the cover-up, in 1997, the judge, his name was Fox, ordered the DNA tests of evidence from the crime scene, and he said that the 15 envelopes that need to be opened and examined for DNA...
Now, this was with the Jeffrey McDonald family murder, when the Satanist murdered his pregnant wife and his children... And then to add insult to injury, they sent an innocent man to prison. And the prosecutor knew he was innocent because now a marshal has come forward, 25 years later, and said, my conscience won't take it anymore. I heard this woman trying to tell the prosecutor about the satanic part, and he was with it. And he said, if you say that on the stand, I will prosecute you for murder. And so, of course, she wouldn't tell the truth. She wanted to tell the truth. She felt bad about it. But the prosecutor wanted to send an innocent man to prison, and now he said, I don't remember saying that recently. The article recently within the New York Times, I read it within the last 3 weeks.
Well, absolutely. And he, in the meantime, was tried and convicted and sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences. And that's, he's been in prison for 26, 27 years now. But these DNA tests, going back to them, the judge ordered 15 pieces of evidence examined, but said that only the prosecution could be open when they opened the 15 evidence envelopes. And you know what? Of the 15 evidence envelopes, the prosecution claims that 5 of them were empty. Now, in spite of that, the most recent development in regard to DNA is that one of the children had a hair under her fingernails that did not belong to anybody in the McDonald family. So the evidence, fortunately, is coming forward. We are proceeding now. I'm still on the defense team. And we hope to have a hearing and try to get a new trial.
Now, don't you actually have a video interview with this woman?
I have a video confession of Helena Stokely's confession to me, yes.
And so why won't they bring that out in court?
Well, we presented it to the courts, her confessions. I spent a total of 30 days with her, three sessions, about 10 days each, and the courts have rejected it. The judge rejected it. Judge Dupree, who was the original judge at the time of the trial, and whose son-in-law was one of the prosecutors early on.
You would think that some people might even think that was a conflict of interest.
Well, there was a conflict of interest, and the judge should have recused himself, but he didn't.
All right, so maybe this goes a lot deeper than we think. Well, that is an incredible story, and Ted has had a fascinating life, and we could talk about so many other things he's investigated, but right now let's go into something that affects every one of the listening audience, and that is the fact that there are Al-Qaeda terror cells in this country. Our government knows that they're there, refuses to investigate them, and is letting these terrorists continue with their plans for violence here in our country. Now, Paul Williams is a professor, I think, at Syracuse University. He wrote The Al-Qaeda Connection, Osama's Revenge. We've had him as a guest a number of times, and recently he told me that he had been told about one of the world's leading Al-Qaeda terrorists who had been wanted on all sorts of posters, had been spotted in Bakersfield, that people had gone to the police. You know, they wouldn't do anything. The FBI wouldn't do anything. Paul Williams came out, checked the story out. He went to the police. He went to the FBI. They wouldn't do anything. That doesn't make any sense until you hear Ted Gunderson's story. So, Ted, tell your part of the story about a different terrorist cell and about different terrorists that our government knows are here and refuses to do anything about.
Sure. Well, Paul Williams, in his book, Osama's Revenge and the Next 911, and the other book, The Al-Qaeda Connection.
Both of which, incidentally, we carry if you're out there in the listening audience and like to get them.
Good. Anyway, he states that there's 8,000 illegal alien terrorists who've been smuggled into the United States, mainly through Mexico, from terrorist-related countries like Iran, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Syria, and Pakistan, and that there are 10 cities that have been targeted. These cities are Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Houston, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Miami, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, and Valdez, Alaska. And this was backed up, this information is backed up in an article in the Washington Times, October 10th through 16th of 05 last year. And also, according to a reporter for David Wood for the Newhouse News Service in an article on September 23rd, 04, sleeper cells are in place in America waiting to attack.
But, of course, they're waiting for the word to be given. Of course, they're under tight control. And, of course, when we attack Iran, if we do, why then, of course, this will trigger off a whole series of violent attacks on this country. Now, you can go back and read a book that Joseph Badansky wrote in 1993 called Attack America. Who's Badansky? He is the chief consultant for the Republican House of Representatives, members of the House of Representatives, works in Washington, D.C. We have a number of the books he's written, Osama's Revenge, but in this book in 1993, he was talking about the Islamic terrorist cells. These were Iranian terrorist cells that were here at that time under Iran's control. And of course, Saddam was thought that he could get them to go into action during the first Gulf War. And Iran just said, forget it. Forget it, Saddam. We don't like you. We never liked you. And you're not going to use our terrorist cells. So they've been here. Probably some of these people, 15, 18 years or more. But they're bringing more in all the time, waiting for the word to be given, and people say, that couldn't happen in America. And I would ask you, why couldn't it happen? They've intentionally left the border open. And as Paul Williams said in his book so well, you know, after they caught some of these people, they caught maybe a thousand of them, but they immediately left them go. And they told them to come back for their hearings, and you know, none of them came back. That's what he told me in the book. He said 5% came back, but in personal conversations, he said, could you imagine none of them came back for the hearings? They just went off and got affiliated with their terrorist cells, disappeared in our population. Why would our leaders be that dumb unintentionally?
Well, it's they're not dumb, first of all, and it is intentional. It's not unintentional. Because our government, people high up in our government are involved in this whole terrorist movement. And, you see, the reason is, there are certain people, key positions in the government, particularly Washington DC, who want these terrorist attacks to occur because then they can pass Homeland Security, they can pass the Patriot Act. And these acts take away many of our constitutional rights and civil liberties. So the next question is, well, why would Congress pass these laws? Well, I've been working a case since the early 1980s out of the Midwest, Nebraska and Iowa primarily, where the a group of people, high level businessmen and politicians, were taking children out of orphanages in foster homes and Boys Town in Omaha, Nebraska, driving them to Sioux City, Iowa, placing them in private jets and flying them to Washington, D.C. for sex orgies with congressmen and senators. I have talked to the official photographer of the group who escaped from there and is in hiding now. I have an interview with him. I also have an interview, by the way, with other individuals. And you mentioned Helena Stokely's confession. That's available, by the way, on my website, tedgunderson.com. And so what they do is they take pictures of these congressmen, senators, ambassadors, and leaders in compromising positions, and then they can tell them how to vote. They're blackmailing, they're extortion, whatever you want to call it.
Now, is that the Franklin cover-up, John DeCamp?
That's right. That's the Franklin cover-up by John DeCamp. That book is also available through me.
All right, fine.
On my website.
All right. Give your website out again, Ted.
It's tedgunderson.com.
Okay, that's tedgunderson.com. And Ted's on the front lines of this battle, and I appreciate what he's doing. Well, let's talk about what you ran into. Actually, you heard about this woman who had been living for a number of years with one of the chief al-Qaeda terrorists in America. You tell that incredible story.
Well, in July, I received a call from a preacher in San Diego, Rod McDougall's his name, and he told me that he had this story, and he had this young woman, she was 47 years old, young by my standards, of course, and that she had been the girlfriend of one of the leaders of an al-Qaeda sleeper terrorist cell in Los Angeles. She started asking too many questions, and so they put her in a garage for 3 weeks, and they started poisoning her. She knew she was being poisoned because of her reaction from her body. She was able to escape, and she walked the streets of Los Angeles for 2 days, 2 nights. She went to the police department, LAPD, and they laughed at her. Al-Qaeda terrorist sleeper cell, what would they want with you? She called the FBI on her cellular phone, and she gave them the story. They never returned the phone call. So for protection, she ended up with a church group, a religious group in San Diego, and the preacher said, what am I going to do with her? And I said, let me talk to her. So I met the girl in a hotel room in Orange County with the preacher and another pastor and interviewed her on camera. And it's a four-hour interview, and she gave me the whole story. That was on July the 17th of last year.
And because all sorts of safe houses for the al-Qaeda terrorists, and you've got all that information.
Yes.
But, of course, when you went to the FBI, they weren't interested. You have to ask yourself why. And the only explanation is they know all about it, but they don't want to pretend. They pretend that they don't. They have to be on top of all of these things. But, of course, they're not going to let anybody know what they're doing.
No, of course not. I hear music, so should we?
Yeah, well, you just sort of hold that thought, and we'll be back in just a moment with Ted Gunderson. You know, 29 years with the FBI, and certainly he's investigated some of the most amazing stories you've ever heard. And I've had Ted on, you know, in the past, and we're going to have him on frequently now to try to bring him up to speed and understand the degree of evil that is out there in our world today. Well, Ted, why don't you pick up the story? Anyway, of course, then you went to the FBI. They weren't interested in your story.
We furnished the, for our interview to the FBI, I furnished it to some 14 U.S. congressmen and senators in Washington, D.C., furnished it to every federal law enforcement agency, INS, U.S. Customs, DEA, and here we are in April, and nobody has ever bothered to come and interview her. And in spite of the fact that we did, she and I got up 3:30 one morning, went around, got the addresses of all the safe houses, and furnished that to the authorities. And in addition, she told about how the cars were being wired. She knew of 7 cars that were being wired.
Now, explain, these were cars that were more or less abandoned, and they were being wired with explosives that could be set off by cell phones, but they haven't been set off yet. What are these, in impounding yards or something, waiting for the word to be given?
Well, apparently they are. Now, what they would do, they'd leave them on the streets for them to be impounded, or they would drive them without papers, and when the police would stop them, they would just confiscate the automobile. And if they did this in all 10 of these cities, and these bombs can be detonated by cellular phone, then we're going to have quite an interesting day if it's simultaneously handled by the sleeper terrorists in all of these 10 cities that I mentioned earlier.
Well, now, of course, is there any thought in your mind, maybe this woman's putting on? Do you really believe she's straightforward and honest?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. She gave me too much detail. As a matter of fact, she thought there was going to be a terrorist attack. Something in their mind said August 28th of last year. And fortunately, the immigration did pick up two of the leaders on August 26th. So I think the lady disrupted their operation, and some of these members of the sleeper cell were in here illegally. They were part of this group that have come in here illegally.
Now, what did the INS do when they picked up these members of the leaders of, this terror cell?
Well, all we know at this point is that they picked them up. They were scheduled for deportation, but as I've been told by this young lady, I'll call her Sally. She says all they'll do is change their name, come in and bring some more paper, get some more papers, false papers, and come in under another name and start operating again. And so there you have now. If you had a combination of all these car bombs going off, and then a nuclear explosion, and then you have these 8,000 Al Qaeda terrorists who've been smuggled into the country, and you have street gangs who've been furnished Chinese automatic weapons back in the 1990s. This is well documented in the American Free Press, a weekly publication out of Washington, D.C. That's www.americanfreepress.net. We're going to have, it won't be any problem at all taking over America, because then you'll have martial law, and who knows what's going to happen after that.
And, of course, if you worked in the government and you wanted a justification for martial law, then you would want violence. You would want this sort of thing to happen. If you were one of those people who, for instance, was part of this almost half a billion dollars, about $380 million, I think they gave to Halliburton, to build concentration camps in America. You can go up on the Internet and Google that in. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who want a dictatorship in America. I just read today the latest modification of the rules for a civilian prisoner camps in America. Civilian prisoner military camps in America. And the rules and regulations that will govern them, they were updated in January of this year. Could that really have happened? Well, we'd be glad to send it to you, any of you who would like to get it, free of charge.
Well, and also...
Hold that thought for just a minute. Well, our guest is Ted Gunderson. Ted has been telling us that what the plan is. The plan, basically, is that there are all these cars that have been wired with explosives, but, of course, they haven't been set off. They will be set off when the word is given. Many of them are in pounding yards. Certainly, they can be set off by cell phones, calling them. So these are pretty sophisticated bombs. And Ted is concerned that if there were to be an attack on America, what would one nuclear bomb and 6,000 or 8,000 Iranian terrorists or Islamic terrorists, committing acts of atrocity do in this country? Why, they would immediately slap on martial law, and freedom as we know it would end in America forever. So pick up the story there, Ted.
After I interviewed this lady, a question I have is to myself is, what am I going to do with her? And she had a contact in Connecticut and said, well, I think maybe he can help me out and take care of me. So I had a speech in Huntington, New York, Long Island, New York. And so rather than fly back, we got in the car and two of us drove back, 2.5 days, by the way, and went to Connecticut en route. And the person in Connecticut could not help her. I had my car parked in the Hilton Hotel in Huntington for some 3 days while I was involved in this conference. And then we got back in the car, and I have a friend in Oregon, and I drove to Oregon. And the friend in Oregon couldn't help her, so I ended up bringing her down here, and she's in my condominium right now. She and her husband, she got married in the meantime, met a nice young man. And since then, it's been Katie bar the door as far as we're concerned. We've been gassed. My mail's been opened. My windows have been shot out. They've gassed not only my home, but my car. They trash the car on a weekly basis. My car's been stolen once. There have been two other attempts to steal the car. We found cameras in my condominium.
Of course, this has to be an FBI operation because they don't want you to get the information out about these terror cells. After all, if the American people knew that, they might suspect that maybe before 9-1-1, we knew everything the terrorists were doing. They can't let that information out.
No, of course they can. My telephones are tapped, and we're being recorded now. I'm sure we've had traps on the phone. We've thrown the trash. I live on the fifth floor. Throw the trash down the chute. Went down 10 minutes later, the trash was gone.
Now, basically, what did you do with the video cameras in your condominium?
Well, unfortunately, her husband is not experienced in this field, and he just poked them back through the wall, and they fell down between the walls someplace.
You have no idea where they were being monitored then?
No. Well, I know they were, because one night when they were in bed, there was a snake camera that came on, and they tried to grab it, and it disappeared. But they're coming up through holes in the wall where the floor and the wall meet. We've had threatening phone calls, had misdirected phone calls. They've crashed our website. They've crashed I can't receive emails. They blocked my emails. They've cut me off in the middle of radio shows. And most recently, and by the way, we have been poisoned, and I have documentation. They poisoned the wrong person because I know how to document it, and I have three times the normal amount of arsenic in me for optimum health. I did it one time. Now, what I've done is I've gone on an extensive vitamin program. I've been able to flush it out. But the most recently, using e-weapons, which are microwave laser beams, we know that because of the symptoms that we're recovering from them, we've noticed from them. And as far as gassing is concerned, they've gassed the car, they've gassed the condo. Now, when we were in New York, we got in the car after 3 days, and we smelled something funny, and I looked the car over. And here, between the door and the door jamb on the passenger side, were two needle marks. So you can administer arsenic through aerospray, by the way. I did some research on it.
Well, of course, Ted, I mean, you've been at this game for a long time. I mean, certainly your expose of the Franklin cover-up, your expose of the false imprisonment of Captain Jeffrey McDonald. Have they ever done anything like this to you before?
No, it's unbelievable, what we're going through. We had surveillances on us. When we drove to New York and then back to Oregon, then down here, we had periodic surveillances on us. And when we would come to a main intersection, there would always be a car, like we had to take a highway north or west or whatever the case was. We'd always come to a car, be parked there at the intersection. After we'd pass, the car would drive off in another direction. So I know that the car has a homing device on it, and we're under constant attack.
But what are you doing that's so wrong? All you're trying to do is get the FBI to know about these Islamic terrorist cells in America.
That's all we're trying to do.
And ladies and gentlemen, if any of you doubt that the government knew all about the terrorists, before 9-1-1, you need to get the video in Jihad in America. Some of the footage was shot in 1988 when Osama bin Laden's friend Abdullah Zam was speaking in Oklahoma, and they were watching him in 1988. They banned this video for a long time. We carried it. We had a hard time getting it. Jihad in America, available through Radio Liberty. Get it and understand. They knew all about the Islamic terrorists before 9-1-1, and they're trying to keep any information to bring out now until the word is given. Hale, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Ted Gunderson. So, Ted, you pick up the story there. Anyway, you feel that they've been injecting things into your room. You feel that they've actually had these video cameras that they've been tracking you with. So what's the plan at this point? And, you know, have you been trying to get to the FBI to, you know, to get them and say, look, why aren't you trying to get the information? Why aren't you tracking these Islamic terror cells? You think that they just are, you know, frightened to death that you're going to get the word out that they really know all about all these terror cells, but well, they can't let the American people know?
We've done everything we can to get them out, Dr. Stan. By the way, I've also had surreptitious entries into my condo, and they've stolen some of my files. They stole a whole box I had on the Art Bell lawsuit. They've stolen some other items. They've taken some of my address book is now missing, and also one of my phone books is missing. So it's an all-out war as far as they are concerned and as far as I'm concerned. One of the worst things that's happened is this young lady and her husband went to the FBI here about 2 weeks ago to go in as and by the way, I wrote a letter asking for witness protection for her, never received a response. The FBI agent who's supposed to be handling the case, Robert Shirley in Long Beach, California, he doesn't answer the phone calls. He doesn't return the phone calls. As a matter of fact, last time I tried to call him, his phone has been disconnected. Her phone is no longer active. And anyway, she went to the FBI about 10 days ago and to go in and say, why aren't you protecting me? Why aren't you helping me? I'm a federal witness. You know, federal witnesses are supposed to be protected.
Well, now, how would she be a federal witness if they haven't even acknowledged it? Has she actually been, have they talked to her so they can put her in the witness protection?
No, they've never talked to her, but her information is such that she is an automatic federal witness. There's no question about it. I mean, if Congress ever asked her to testify, she's a potential witness, I would say that. But she does deserve protection. Anyway, so she went to the FBI office with her husband, and they walked in there, and instead of answering her question, why aren't you protecting me, they arrested her.
But, of course, why would the FBI arrest her? Because this was some sort of a local warrant. It had nothing to do with the federal government, did it?
No, it did not. But she was arrested and turned over to the locals. And they claim that it was that she failed to appear at a court hearing back in the year 2000. And when I first brought her to Las Vegas, I personally went down and checked court records to see if she was wanted or if there was any information on her. And there was none then at that time. That would have been last August when I brought her back here. Now she's out on a bench warrant. We had to make a bail on $6,000 bond. And so here we are. We're the ones that are under attack. And the FBI, the great FBI, is doing absolutely nothing to protect her, nothing.
Hold that thought right there, please, Ted. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Ted Gunderson, formerly with the FBI, says that the FBI is doing everything they can to harass him and the woman who knows about the Al-Qaeda terror cells in the United States and knows where the safe houses are. And instead of going after them, they're making Ted's life and the life of this woman very, very difficult and trying, in fact, they even arrested her on a non-federal warrant. Now, why would the FBI arrest anybody on a local warrant in Las Vegas? But apparently they did, and so Ted had to put up $6,000 to get her out on bail. Is that your own money you put up, Ted?
No, yes, it was our money, but we were able to put up only $940.
Okay, yeah.
15%.
All right.
But I had to sign off on her and agree to accept the responsibility. So if she disappears or if she skips bail, they come after me for the $6,000. They'd go right after my retirement check, which is not that much. But it would sure put a crimp in my operation because I used my retirement check to expose these people. By the way, it's not the FBI that's doing this. The FBI is ignoring us. The ones that are attacking us, I believe, is NSA. And in the government, there's two elements in the government. There's the overt and the covert. The overt are the guys with the suits and ties go out of the bank robbing interview witnesses. The covert are the ones who are trained assassins, worked in the drug operation, do all the dirty work for the undercover operation that's taking place, across America, actually across the world. I have an interview with a former Black Ops, 25-year Black Ops veteran, Chip Tatum. By the way, these interviews I'm telling you about, the confession, the girl's 4-hour interview is available, by the way, for $25. And I have an interview with Chip Tatum that I conducted personally, and he talks about how he went all over the world involved in assassinations and some of these other activities. By the way, Chip has disappeared.
I know he has. In fact, we have some interviews with him. We did. And actually, he was supposed to kill Ross Perot, and when he didn't do it, why they came after him.
That's right. That's right. He was supposed to go after Ross Perot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this goes on in America. Chip was a great guy, and great interviews with him. And of course, you can get probably the taped interview from Ted. We do have the audio taped interview. I'm not sure which tape set it's in, but, you know, and he tells about certainly he was ordered to kill Ross Perot. Who was the president at that time? George Herbert Walker Bush.
That's right.
The former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. So, you know, this was, of course, when Bush would have been the vice president, and he was running for the president the first time around against Ross.
Well, I have the interview not only with Chip Tatum, but with also former CIA drug pilot Bo Abbott. But this girl's interview is also available, and that's a 4-hour interview. If you're interested in my flyer, or if you go to the website, tedgunderson.com, you'll see all of them on there, listed on there. Now, the interview with the girl, the 4-hour interview with the girl, is on a DVD, and it's not available on my website. I haven't been able to put it up yet. I've been so busy. But that's available for $25. Can I get my address out, Ted?
You go right ahead, Ted.
If you're interested in this 4-hour interview, send $25, and I'll handle the postage and handling, to Ted Gunderson, TEDGUN. DERSON, 1155 East Twain, TWAIN, like Mark Twain, Avenue, 108-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. Ted Gunderson, 1155 East Twain Avenue, 108-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109.
All right, fine. Well, if you're interested, of course, get the material from Ted, and of course, it'll help him out as well. He's on the front lines of the battle. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you would like to ask Ted a question, but what really disturbs me is the fact that I believe that there are terror cells here. I believe that they are under very, very tight control by the Islamic terrorist organization. I also think that our government knows exactly who they are, just exactly as they tracked Zacharias Moussaoui from the time he came into the United States. And you hear, oh my goodness, Zacharias, he's really responsible for what happened on 9-1-1. If we'd just known what he was up to, well, let me tell you, they knew what he was up to. I personally talked to the woman who runs the Airman Flight School in Norman, Oklahoma. She told me that the FBI was there 11 days before September 11th, asking about Zacharias Moussaoui, who was such a terrible pilot, he couldn't even fly a single engine plane, and they gave him his money back. So the FBI was tracking him at every turn. It was all a big game, but we've got to make him the guilty one to take the attention away from the people who brought down Building 7 on 9-1-1. And how could they have got those explosives there in such a short period of time? Maybe nothing, as we anticipated. Go ahead, Ted.
Well, they couldn't. I mean, those buildings were imploded. I have pictures that are also available for $5. I can get those to you. It's a series that was taken off the TV the afternoon of 9-1-1. And it was off of NBC News, and one of my contacts broke the pictures down, the broadcast down, the TV broadcast down, 30 frames per second, and you can actually see the explosion. And on around the 75th or 77th floor, somewhere along in there. And, you know, it's interesting because I just gave a lecture in Irvine, California, and I had these pictures, and it's a set of 4 pictures. And the first picture is of the first 4 frames shows the explosion very clearly, and then the others are what happened afterwards. And I had about 10 sets of these pictures, and you know, when I came home, the first page was gone on each one of those. Also, my telephone address book was stolen. And I had this information there under my table. It was supposed to have been locked at night after the conference was over. As you know, after each conference, they're supposed to lock the door and so on and so forth. But I've had all kinds of things taken from me.
Okay, well, let's go to Michael, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Michael. Do you have a question or comment?
basically a comment. First off, I want to congratulate both you gentlemen. You both are my personal heroes, and I'm familiar with Mr. Gunderson's work for years, and it's great. I'd like to bring up just briefly the information provided to us by Gunther Carl Russwacker.
Right, huh?
It was brought over under Operation Paperclip. His father was a Nazi on the 2nd SS Panzer Division. Gunther was a Knight Templar, and he basically gave us the information that we're dealing with two rival gangs of European black nobility who are both Knights Templars, two different versions of the Knights Templars who are fighting it out for control of our country using these intelligence agencies as their foot soldiers. And this is the top of the pyramid, are these gangs of black nobility who are trying to grab the control of what's left of the American Republic. And Russwacker was the one who brought all this information out, and not too many people seem to be aware of it. There is another faction. There's a faction 3, which is the good guys.
Okay, fine. Let's get Ted's thoughts. What do you think about what Michael's saying?
Well, there's no question about it. He's right on target.
I had the opportunity to interview Gunther Russwacker, and for our listeners out there, I want you to know I'm suspicious of everybody. I mean, I never take anybody at face value. But when I interviewed Gunther Russwacker, he told me this story about how, you know, the CIA was working with the KGB, and this whole conflict between communism and capitalism was a fraud. And I said, well, gee, Gunther, that sounds very much like the story, The Brotherhood of the Rose. They made it into a movie, and he looked at me, and without blinking an eye, he said, well, that book was written by so-and-so, and it was dedicated to me. Well, of course, I was down the next day to actually get a copy of the book. I wanted to see if it really was dedicated to him, and there it was. And I want to dedicate this book with special thanks to Russ. That's what they call him, Russ Packard. So I think it probably is true, just as you say, Michael. And there really are these secret societies that work behind the scenes, but behind them are powerful spirits or forces. And if we don't recognize that these are satanic, we're never going to be able to do anything about it.
We're in a spiritual war.
If we are involved in a spiritual war. Anything else you want to say, Michael? We got Leif calling from Norway.
That's it. Just keep up the good work, gentlemen. God bless you, and thank you very much.
God bless you, Michael. Yeah, let's go. Hi, Leif. How are you doing? How are things over in Norway?
Well, they're great for me personally. Thank you.
I'm glad for that. It's so good to hear from you. Do you have a question or comment?
Comments. Now, I heard how you, Mr. Gunderson, are being attacked. And I'd like to give you a comment. I have heard that people who use Psalm number 91 for daily prayer experience very much protection.
All right, that's Psalm 91. And
do
you have it handy there?
Yes.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, I'll look it up afterwards, and I'm sure Ted will as well. But the only thing that Ted and I and the others can do really is rely on the Lord. You can't fight these people, by the same techniques, because these are killers, these are murderers, these are ruthless people who will stop at nothing to conceal the truth from the American people.
Let me mention Leif. Leif, I'm half Norwegian. My grandfather and grandmother came from Bergen.
Well, I'm living in Bergen right now.
Oh, yeah, huh? Well, they came over here and didn't know each other, but they met each other in South Dakota, got married, and my dad was full-blooded Norwegian.
Okay. Well, Leif, anything else, Leif? And I appreciate so much that suggestion. I will make it a point to certainly look that up.
Yeah, I've heard preachers say, pray that psalm every day. Memorize it and pray it every day.
God bless.
Thank you. One more question, actually.
All right.
There is the OTO Lodge started in Norway in the 80s. It didn't originate in Norway, I know that, but the first lodge started here in the 80s. Have you had any involvement investigation into that cult?
Well, you know, the person, we mentioned this on our other show with Dr. Stan, one of the persons who really did as much as anybody to expose the OTO was Maury Carey in his book The Ultimate Evil, and it's a great book, and it exposes this satanic movement all the way.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's the Ordo Tempora Orientis. And that was Aleister Crowley's group. We actually carry a book called Blood on the Altar that gets into that. Now, there are a few things in there that I disagree with, so we put a disclaimer in the book. But it's the best book we have on Aleister Crowley and the OTO, so we do offer Blood on the Altar. But certainly... these people are real. They're here, Aleister Crowley. You know, if you look at some of the albums put out by the Beatles, you'll see Aleister Crowley's face there. Those of you who have not yet watched the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll. You really want to get them the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. So much of this deals with Aleister Crowley, who organized the OTO. And it is a satanic organization, Leif. It's alive and well. They even have a website. They're all over the world, these Satanists. Thanks so very much for calling.
Well, thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless you.
Okay, fine. Well, it's good to know that Leif is listening, although it's pretty late over there. But we have listeners in both Sweden and in Norway. And what a privilege it is to get this information out across the world. But the United States is where the battle is being fought. And it'll either be won or lost here. This is why I stay and do what I do, and I know that's why Ted does what he does. Well, Ted, what's the next move as far as this woman and trying to get her protected?
Well, the next move is to move. We're going to have to get out. I can't operate in the city because I can't protect her. I can't protect... I have an invalid lady I take care of, and I can't protect her, me, or her husband. This is the lady's husband. And we're going to have to move out of here. I have to get out in the country, put a big fence around the house, couple of mean dogs, and be ready and take them on my ground, not their ground. I'm in a complex of 40 condominiums, this building I'm in right now, and there's no question for them to gas us in a condominium. They have to have condominiums of their own here. So they've come in and bought some, at least one, I think they've got about two or three just in our building alone, and they're e-weaponing us, a microwave beam, laser beam from across the way, which is another complex about 100 yards away. So, you know, we just can't operate here. We've got to move on. We're moving on. As soon as we can get everything packed and get out of Dodge.
Okay, Ted. Well, I appreciate the fact that you're there trying to protect this woman. But, you know, if they're spending all this effort just on you and on this one issue, they must feel this is so vitally important that the American people do not find out that they know about these Al-Qaeda terror cells. If they didn't know them, they would not be, protecting them as they are. And this is exactly what happened to the people who investigated the murder of Vince Foster. And certainly I talked to Chris Ruddy and to Ambrose Evans Pritchard. Both of them are reporters who worked with one of the people who had actually, was involved with the Vince Foster case. He was going to testify that the government story was false, and boy, did they give him. I mean, they had 30 or 40 people involved in actually harassing him. Now, that story is told in Ambrose Evans Pritchard's book, The Secret Life of Bill Clinton. They seem to have so many people that they're utilizing this whole thing. And some of them are even people who are here, you know, from foreign countries, who are afraid they're going to be sent back if they don't do exactly what they're told. That's no way to run a free country, is it?
Yeah, well, many of them are mind control victims also. They're trained, they're told what they have to do, and they do it, or they suffer. And it's my understanding that they have mind controlled these people. There's tens of thousands of them out there, I'm convinced of that, by the way. Every time the couple goes out, the lady and her husband go out, and they don't go out alone, they go out together. Except for the husband went out on April the 1st, and again on April the 5th, he got zapped with some sort of a microwave. He could barely make his way home, and on the 5th, he could barely make it. He almost passed out driving the car. He got to the downstairs. We're on the 5th floor. We had to go down and get him, pull him out of the car, and almost carry him up to his bed and undress him. He was really hit hard with some sort of a laser gun. So they're out there, and they got tens of thousands of these people out there, and we're not the only targets. I received phone calls from people all over the country. Are also targeted, so, and have the similar problems to what we're having here.
And for anybody who would like to see two questions, this couldn't happen in America. I would suggest that we have a wonderful book. It's called Big Brother and Little Brother Are Watching. It was written, probably 6 or 8 years ago. It's a story of the NSA. It was a story of the National Security Agency that is actually tapping your telephones, reading your emails, and reading your faxes. They're collecting dossiers on every American citizen, and if you doubt that, why, you can certainly get a book written by a Lieutenant General William Odom called Fixing Intelligence. I think it came out in 2003, in which he says, should the government be collecting dossiers on every citizen? Should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA have journalists planted in the media? Why, how could you have a free society if those things are going on? Lieutenant General Odom, I believe, is a real patriot. He can't actually say these things are happening, but he can certainly ask those questions, and we're just about out of time here, at least for this segment. Ted, would you want to get your telephone number and your website out one more time?
Well, my website is tedgunderson.com, tedgunderson.com, and I'm going to give you my address. It's Ted Gunderson, 1155 East Twain Avenue, number 108-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109.
One more time.
Ted Gunderson, 1155 East Twain, T-W-A-I-N Avenue, 108-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109.
Thanks very much, and hang on just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. We lost Mike, who was calling in. If Mike wants to call in quickly, why, we'll get him on. We have 3 minutes here to go. Ted, what message would you like to leave with our listeners today? I mean, you've told a story that is so unbelievable, and yet I believe it because I've been in this battle for 44 years, and at least three of the people I've interviewed have been killed, have been murdered. Certainly one of them was suicided. They said he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice.
Was that Gary Webb?
That was Gary Webb, right.
Of course, yeah, I know Gary Webb was murdered. You don't shoot yourself in the head twice.
Well, it's amazing how some people keep saying, oh, yes, he was just so determined. He shot himself in the head twice, and one of our leading conservatives made that statement. And I've always felt just a little different about him since then, wondering, have we been infiltrated again by people who are part of the other side? Be that as it may, what message would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, but what I'm saying, I think everybody needs to stock up on water, stock up on food, buy plastic bags to put over your windows in case there's a nuclear attack, keep the waste out, the uranium, the fallout out of your house, out of your condominium, get some fans, and that's the best advice I can give. To get out of the city, is to be, get out of these 10 cities would be good advice too, by the way. Get out in the country someplace. I plan on going to Southern Oregon. That's the one place in the United States where there, if they have nuclear fallout, it will not affect that part of the United States because of the prevailing winds.
Well, I will tell you that I got a call from a man in contacts with all sorts of intelligence agencies throughout the world. Now, I don't know why he called me to tell me this within the last 2 days, but he said that the next 3 weeks are going to be a very, very difficult time. So it's going to be interesting to see whether his information is accurate or not. Of course, he's talking really about Iran and about the Hugo Chavez in South America, who's working very closely with Iran.
And working with the communists.
Well, of course, but the communists have always worked with Islamic fascists who were created by our own government. And the communists have been funded by our own government and by the great tax-exempt foundations. And when are people going to wake up that they play both sides against the middle? Ted Gunderson, thanks so very much for being with us. And we're looking forward to having you with us again, I think, tomorrow evening on our late program.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Stanley.
God bless and keep safe.
You bet.
Bye-bye. And ladies and gentlemen, if I could ask just to pray for Ted, pray for his protection. He's a very brave man. He's on the front lines of this battle, and he's investigated so many of these things. Think about Captain Jeffrey McDonald, an innocent man who's been in jail for, 26, 27 years, and they know he's innocent. And yet you're not going to hear that through regular channels. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Ted Gunderson. And certainly there are so many stories out there that you need to hear about. Certainly we hope that many of you will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the spiritual nature of the battle that we're involved in. And you can get the book Or you can get the video or the DVD, or you can get the tape, or you can get at least three of the four items as the Brotherhood of Darkness special, either the DVD or the video, the audio tape, and the book. And then, of course, we hope that many of you want to get our new video. It's called World Revolution. It's really quite well done. It goes into the background of the continuing revolution that started with the American Revolution and continues even to this very day. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will certainly want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, because, quite frankly, we're dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us as we've reached out. Certainly, yes, 5 hours every weekday across America, really across the world, trying to get people educated as to the spirit and nature of the battle we're involved in. We want to mention we do carry the Berkey products, and if you need a big Berkey or Berkey Light, you need to have something to purify water. We could be moving into very difficult times. I don't know when the attack is going to come on Iran. Well, I believe that if we do not topple the government of Iran, that we will attack them and attack Syria. And I fear this will plunge us into World War III. And I think that's exactly what the members of the occult hierarchy want. If you don't know who the occult hierarchy are, we have three pamphlets we put together. They're inexpensive. All three of them are only $9.95. But it will give you insight into the secret organizations. And believe me, there are secret organizations out there. If you doubt that, you need to read the book written by the Librarian of Congress called Fire in the Minds of Men. If you read George Bush's second inaugural speech, he refers to the fire in the minds of men. What's he talking about? He's talking about the world revolution that is began at the time of our Revolutionary War and continues to this day. It's a revolution's reference to the book written by James H. Bullington, which we carry in another book written by Dostoevsky. And it was called The Damned. It was the story of the world revolution that's going on today. So you want to get my video, and certainly there you'll actually see my interview with the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution, who will tell you, Ambassador Smith will tell you, that we knew Fidel Castro was a communist, and we brought him to power. What most people don't understand is we're still keeping him in power today. Exactly as we brought the communists to power in China, and we're keeping them into power today and financing them, but we can't let the American people know that. You see, nothing is as it appears to be, and when you understand that, then everything really does make sense. Because if you're looking for logic, I mean, why would we have not tried to get Osama bin Laden? There were time after time after time when we could have captured Osama bin Laden. Robert Schur, who worked for the CIA and tracked him before the CIA, said there were 10 times that they could have gotten Osama, and we refused to. Richard Minter's book, Losing Bin Laden, lists 11 times we could have captured him. But the United States was funding the Taliban. From 1996 right up until the year 2001, if you read President Bush's September 20th, 2001 speech, he will tell you the United States is the largest supplier of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan. That's the Taliban. Why were we funding the country that was giving sanctuary to Osama bin Laden, who had killed so many Americans and had declared war in America in 1996 and 1998? It really doesn't make sense. Unless, of course, it's all a charade. Well, this is the time when we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders, please pray for our ministers, but you have to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because, believe me, we're on the front lines of this battle. And pray for Ted Gunderson, too. He's a very brave and courageous man who's doing his best to save America. What are you doing? Well, get involved, because believe me, if you don't get involved now, very soon it will be too late. So until tomorrow at the same time, and the Lord be with you.